are traveling to another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are dependent on how many cigarettes you smoke. Your next stop, the Bugleverse.
Last week, President Trump announced that he would be abolishing Social Security by replacing that Ponzi scheme with another. In two executive orders, he issued all United States citizens their own Solana blockchain meme coin, and the other, he ordered the Department of the Treasury to begin redirecting payments that were going towards Social Security to begin purchasing the meme coins to boost their value. Americans' Retirement Money is now being held on the Solana blockchain, and your retirement fund is now directly correlated to your ability to propagate memes. By introducing the president to Bitcoin, David Bailey has unleashed the shitcoin kraken upon humanity. Already, Pledator and Dick Whitman are plotting on how to correct humanity's course. But in a world without Gary Gensler at the helm of the SEC, what power do they really have? Dennis Porter seems to appear lost in the weeds at such an anti-Bitcoin-only development. He is hastily making a tactical retreat from Washington, D.C., back towards state capitol buildings to begin introducing more Bitcoin strategic reserve bills. Is our hope of having a Bitcoin-only world at jeopardy? Luke Dash Jr. is currently working on a constitutional amendment in order to filter shitcoining out of the government. But like his attempts to filter ordinals, he will likely get little backing from the larger community as a whole. Many are wondering if voting harder really made a difference this time. In the coming weeks, a lot is yet to be revealed. Will Bitcoin pump despite all the shitcoining? Which shitcoins will be held in the strategic stockpile? Will Bitcoin be regulated like firearms and protected under the Second Amendment, like Jason Lowry foretold? All we have is questions, waiting impatiently for answers. Will David Bailey be redeemed, or will we descend into darkness? You are listening to The Bugle Weekly, the most thermodynamically sound podcast in the world. Buckle up, because you are entering the Bugleverse.
Welcome back to The Bugle. I'm Rod Palmer, here with Richard Creaser, bringing you the news, bringing you the journalism, bringing you the signal for the week. And what a week it has been. How you doing, Richard? How'd you handle the first week of the first Bitcoin presidency?
Well, it was pretty interesting. I don't think we could really draw any conclusions on anything yet. I think everything's still up in the air and people are being pretty reactive, but
yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we were promised day one for Ross Ulbricht to be free, but it actually took 2 days. So Donald Trump already started off on the wrong foot by lying to us about Ross Ulbricht, but they get it done. And it was a big eventful first week, at least for headlines. I mean, if you saw the headlines, it was HR departments, DEI people in the CIA, announcing that they believe the lab leak theory instead of Joe Biden's theory about a bat having sex with a person. And a lot of people were very, very on nerve the first few days, especially because, like I said, because it took Ross twice. And they were showing their, and I think they were showing their high time preference, because it was a very active week. But we were promised a strategic Bitcoin reserve on day one. We're going on week one. We don't have it. In fact, it's been renamed to the Digital Assets Strategic Reserve, or, you know, Trump's buying wrapped Bitcoin. Let's talk about Ripple and crypto being in this thing. You said it's too early to make any conclusions, but it's not too early to be concerned.
Well, I think Bitcoin maximalists should not have been blindsided by the fact that Donald Trump was a shitcoiner, first and foremost. I think it's really interesting the language that was used in that executive order. So it wasn't a reserve. They used the term stockpile. Kind of leads me to believe that instead of classifying Bitcoin as a First Amendment protected right, they're going to classify it as a Second Amendment protected right. and they're going to lean into Jason Lowery's software theory, essentially.
Interesting.
Bitcoin and altcoins are munitions of sorts.
What do you think the second order effects of this type of classification has on Bitcoin?
Well, I think the conversation will shift to Elizabeth Warren trying to promote red flag Bitcoin laws, essentially. So allowing the government to go in and seize your Bitcoin or your altcoins through force. They'll go take your hardware wallet from you in person if they deem you non-compliant.
What if they think that you're listening to too many hours of Bitcoin podcasts or too many hours of right-wing libertarian militia podcasts? Do you think that they might use as an excuse to take away your right to have non-KYC cold storage hardware wallets?
If there's a possibility for them to be able to do it, I think they'll try to exploit it. And people just have to come at things from an adversarial mindset of always being willing and able to take the non-compliant path, because we know these people don't really care. You know, they've been enforcing smoking bans for decades now. They've been trying to restrict your freedoms gradually and slowly over time, but consistently. And that trend's not going to stop just because the price of Bitcoin goes up, right? They're going to want to KYC. Like, you know, one of the reasons I think they like digital currencies in general is because they like the idea of trying to eliminate the ability to do any non-KYC transactions. Like, they want you, when you're going to your local cigarette dealer, instead of doing like a cash or Bitcoin transaction with a non-custodial wallet, they want you using Tether through PayPal or, you know, whatever their, you know, controlled exchange is.
Well, we won. Thanks to the proof of work put in by maximalists and podcasters, everyday people now understand the difference between Bitcoin and crypto.
But now, some Americans are surrendering to their worst impulses. They want to eradicate the shitcoiners who can't afford their taxes. They support policies that would break up families and disrupt communities for the sake of retribution against their fellow human beings, just because those people didn't listen to enough Bitcoin podcasts.
But proponents of this high time preference policy don't have an answer to one very simple yet critical question. If we expel all the shitcoiners, who will wrap our Bitcoin?
President Trump and his cabinet of wise Bitcoin podcasters are building the digital infrastructure of the future by acquiring a stockpile of wrapped Bitcoin across all the most popular blockchains.
This policy will create countless new jobs, jobs that people who can afford taxes do not want to do.
Even if I wasn't a conscientious crypto objector and allowed shitcoin nodes into my home, you couldn't pay me enough to wrap Bitcoin. Not even for President Trump.
But someone has to wrap America's Bitcoin. We need a pathway for shitcoiners who are willing to do the dirty work of diversifying the network interoperability of America's Bitcoin reserves to become taxpayers.
Join our cause. Let the Bitcoin community know where you stand. Tell your fellow Americans there is a compassionate solution to the shitcoiner problem that benefits everyone who strives to be able to afford taxes. Visit wrapyourcoin.org to learn more and find out how you can help everyone be able to afford taxes.
Right, because we're using Bitcoin to make the dollar stronger, not the other way around. So anything where you would be using Bitcoin, selling Bitcoin, using it as a medium of exchange or a sovereign, you know, transaction, that would be bad for the price of Bitcoin, which would be bad for the dollar. But as long as everybody's just saving Bitcoin cold storage or IETFs and using Tether, that benefits society.
Well, I don't
know. Fiat society.
I don't think it benefits the fiat society at all. I think what they essentially see Bitcoin as is it's a vehicle to make the population solvent so they can afford to pay their taxes. Right. It's not a vehicle to empower individuals. They want the tax process to become as automated and simple as possible. So they want to be able to skim your Tether transactions automatically instead of having 80,000 IRS agents manually having to look over your tax returns. Like I think the Trump administration is firing all these IRS agents because they're just replacing them with AI. Like they're going to have Sam Altman doing your taxes instead of, you know, whatever loser that they had before. And so there's a real question that I think every Bitcoiner, an individual in general, has to ask themselves is, what's their main purpose in life? Is their purpose to pay taxes, or is their purpose to smoke cigarettes?
That's really important. And, you know, back to the stockpile conversation, a lot of people are very, very, very upset. They're blaming Michael Saylor. They think that maybe Michael Saylor has switched to the crypto digital asset side. But there's talk about all of these additional non-Bitcoin assets going into the reserve. And one of the big ones, and they've already got what they wanted, is Ripple. Ripple has been in the conversation. It's been the topic of discussion, viral on Twitter the past couple of days. Everybody's mad about them, but look at their playbook. What they do is they want to get a press release. They go to a bank, they go to a major financial institution, and they get a press release with their logo on it that says that the two are partnering on a pilot program to test XRP as a bridge currency for remittance payments, etc. And what really happens is nothing. That those are just, they're just paying for those press releases, that nothing ever happens. Nobody's using it, but it allows them to pump the price and dump on retail. So what all the top crypto companies are doing, they're lining up in Washington and they are promising millions, tens of millions support, loyalty to Donald Trump if he puts them in a press release being considered for the strategic digital asset stockpile. So Ripple was the first one to go. Solana is getting up there. I think Aptos is another one. They're all going to get a picture taken with the vice president or the crypto czar and say that they are looking forward to being in the digital asset stockpile. And that press release and that fake partnership with their logo on it will send the price up. So we just got to get through that. And then once every single crypto company, there's only a couple hundred thousand of them, each week they will get their press release. And once that is over, Donald Trump can announce the strategic Bitcoin reserve for what it really is.
Maybe. I think the Bitcoin maximalists have made some pretty serious tactical mistakes over the last few years. And I think one of the primary ones is their inability to accept meme coins and ordinals. Yes, there's not any real value to them. But what we're seeing right now is that all these individuals that had pre-mined coins have massive political lobbying power. If you look at the difference between the funding that Satoshi Action has received versus the funding that Ripple Labs has, it's night and day difference. Like, sure, Ripple doesn't have Dennis Porter. The only reason why Satoshi Action is relevant is because Dennis Porter is a superhuman. He's like a demigod, or maybe the second coming of Jesus. But
the second coming of Bitcoin Jesus, the first one's going to prison for the rest of his life. But We're going to need another Bitcoin Jesus, and Dennis Porter could be that person.
I mean, you look at the position that Roger Ver is in versus all these Bitcoin maximalists. So he ended up, him and all the people behind Bitcoin Cash were able to make a tremendous amount of value out of nothing by just forking Bitcoin. And I think this is the only time anybody will ever be successful at that. I think this is the only time in history that will happen where you could just fork Bitcoin and end up with millions and millions of dollars out of doing nothing and have your original Bitcoin and your forked Bitcoin, which you can just dump. He has money to fund a serious legal defense. He can make it really expensive for the government. He's running marketing endeavors right now, trying to get people's attention. He's getting responses from Elon Musk, even though they're not very positive. He's garnering a lot of attention that a lot of normal people can't do because they didn't embrace the shitcoins. And, you know, if you're going to try and play in the system, you have to understand the system, right? The system is funded by shitcoins and it's funded by meme coins. So if you want to play in the system, you have to be a shitcoiner and a meme coiner, or else you're just completely disadvantaged. Like, what are you going to do? Like, try to right. go in
and- This is why the new system we're building on Bitcoin, the hyper-Bitcoinization, a lot of people thought it would solve all the problems, but it has not yet. And Bitcoin has already won, but we haven't fixed the world yet. And so what shitcoins are, it's the ditty party of the new system. The old system, you'd have to go, if you wanted to play the game, if you wanted to extract extra value from people and have power and control, you had to go to the ditty parties, you had to go to Epstein Island. Now you have to be in the group chats of the people who are launching the next big meme coin. I mean, if you want to buy Trump coin, it goes to 50 billion in one day. Well, you're not going to benefit from that unless you are really good friends with Donald Trump and his sons and, you know, Martin Shkreli and Udi. And like, you're going to get, you know, the information to buy those meme coins early. And you have to go to those parties and you have to traffic in adolescent meme coins. So you have a choice. Do you want to go to Sailor's 100K yacht party? Do you want to go to the crypto ball and meet Snoop Dogg and Cynthia Lummis? Well, you might have to go to a crypto ditty party. And is that something you're willing to do? Or would you rather just stack sats and run your bid axe at home and hope that you can amass enough sats that it's too expensive. They have to leave you alone.
Yeah. I think you had told me this when we were messaging earlier, that the Discord pump and sump channels, those are the ditty parties of crypto right now.
Yeah. And that's where the future cantillionaires or the people in those group chats, in those Discord servers, at those crypto ditty parties. So to be closest to the meme coin that you get to pump and just make unlimited amounts almost of USDT Tether that you can DCA back into Bitcoin for your savings. It comes from these ditty party group chats.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair conclusion. 100%.
But how do you you might not even know that you're connected to one of these crypto ditty party group chats, but what, and maybe some of your friends are in there, like, how do you avoid those? What are the signs that you stay away from that, or how do you get out of that?
Well, I think it's just embracing this ethos that makes Bitcoin attractive, which is exiting the system entirely and building a parallel one. But that might be a little bit too radical, because I mean, we have differing theories on things than PodConf, right? And PodConf drives the majority of the narrative that people are talking about. They control the Twitter narratives. They control a lot of the podcast narratives. Their sponsors have a ton of influence in the community. And they believe that compliance leads to NGU. Like, that's their core message that they're trying to present to people. And that doesn't resonate with a lot of people that have read about the cypherpunks, have listened to podcasts about the cypherpunks, and are attracted to this idea of anonymity and self-reliance in a digital age. And I think the path and the alternative is to start a Bitcoin podcast and to be funded by the value for value community. Because I think we both want Bitcoin to go up, but I think many of us see the downsides. We see the trade-offs of what happens when Bitcoin only goes up because of compliance. Like, why is Ross such a big deal? Why is Ross being freed a great event? It's because he gave Bitcoin a non-compliant use case, right? Which led to the price of Bitcoin inevitably going up. Many people were onboarded to listening to Bitcoin podcasts because of the Silk Road. Many Silk Road users. So this is a good example. So Peter McCormick, previously the world's biggest Bitcoin podcaster, was onboarded to Bitcoin because of the Silk Road. And I think the answer is more Bitcoin podcasts. And a lot of Bitcoin podcasts and podcasters, they get interested in Bitcoin, not because they're looking for a new way to comply. People already have plenty of ways to comply. We don't need compliance innovation, in my opinion. We need non-compliance innovation. We need to find sneaky roundabout ways to buy cigarettes, to bypass bans, to bypass taxes, to bypass all of these mediums which attack an individual's individuality and freedom of expression. We need to tear those down, but not just eliminate them and replace it with something worse. But we have to build something better in the process. And I believe this value for value podcasting ecosystem is one of the ways to do that. We can make the price of Bitcoin go up without necessarily having to play the game of having a pre-mined shitcoin to be able to afford to lobby the politicians.
Yeah, and one of the bad signs, although some people have been very happy to hear the news, Donald Trump is signing an executive order that will replace Social Security. And instead of a Social Security number, you will be issued a meme coin. You will be issued a Solana address with a meme coin. And your ability to afford your taxes, to retire, to just secure your future and your retirement would be your ability to pump this meme coin. And the, you know, whatever market cap, whatever value that your meme coin generates throughout your life, that is yours. And some of these ditty parties, that it really brings home to what it is. It's like, if you take your meme coin and you let it be pumped full of Tether by influencers and by the CIA, and you take your essence, who you are, your meme, and you just let the CIA pump it full of Tether, that's just, it may make you rich, but it's just, you know, I think a lot of people didn't like necessarily the fame and fortune they got for letting Harvey Weinstein pump them full of Tether. It's every person has to make their own choice, but to memifying our future is a very dangerous move. I think we as bad as Social Security is, I don't know if this is the right answer.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
I mean, what if somebody accuses your meme coin of being a pump and dump. You didn't even get to choose it. You didn't even get to choose to have it.
Well, theoretically, all meme coins are pump and dumps in this scenario. If your retirement is based on it, like, is your meme coin going to remain valuable or have any relevancy after you die? Like, theoretically, it dumps upon your death, right? People stop trading it unless you're some sort of celebrity.
Right. The only, yeah, it updates the saying, the only things that are guaranteed in life are your meme coin goes to zero and taxes.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. So you get issued a meme coin and the government takes a portion of your taxes and buys a portion of your meme coin and puts it in their strategic stockpile. And so the stockpile is backed by the meme coins of all its citizens, right? So the government's solvency and value is dependent on all its citizens. So citizens are incentivized to live lives that generate value for their meme coins. I think
podcasts can definitely boost the value of your meme coin and boost the value of your community.
Yeah, it's almost like a government mandated bit clout.
Right, that's true. It's like bit clout is essentially what replaced Social Security, is what you could say.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have issues with it being built on Solana. I think that's like one of the primary issues with this, that they're building your retirement on top of a blockchain that arbitrarily can turn off and on periodically.
They used to be built on orbitals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is interesting because what if the Trump administration backs BIP300 and drive chains in order to be able to issue meme coins on Bitcoin?
Then it would be, I think if that was the use case, I think you would, if Donald Trump announced that today, I think you would get consensus on BIP300 by tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, Eddie, it's, do you think that Paul is ready to take this on a national tour and defend it on podcasts across the community?
I think he's ready. I think he's been foaming at the mouth for this moment to prove himself, to prove that drive chains should be taken seriously, that Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum should be built on top of Bitcoin.
How would what would that be like to bring Bitcoin Cash back on to Bitcoin? Like, it's like a prodigal son moment, right?
Yeah. I think it would be. I mean, it would be very interesting.
Do you think that Bitcoiners would welcome them back in this, if they said we're going to build Bitcoin Cash on Bitcoin? Do you think that they would let bygones be bygones?
No, I don't think so. For some bit, probably, but for a lot of other ones, probably not. Like, I don't think there's any way to make Predator happy. I don't think there's any way to make Mechanic happy.
Luke, definitely not. I mean, but I feel like Shinobi would be one of the first people to extend a hand and welcome the big blockers back to building on Bitcoin. Another, the others too. And it could be good for NG.
Yeah, I mean, there's people like Whitney Webb and Mark Goodwin who are really against the idea of BlackRock tokenizing everything. That's one of their major concerns that they're on. And I think just because BlackRock tokenizes the world on Bitcoin, it's not going to make them any happier. They're just inherently against BlackRock tokenizing everything. And so there's like a class of Bitcoiner like that I don't think you can make happy in this scenario. They have an idea and vision for what Bitcoin is as peer-to-peer cash. They don't believe that Bitcoin's role is to help the global population afford their taxes or to make the dollar stronger. So I think that's kind of going to be one of the really interesting themes for 2025. So did we talk about last week, were we going to do our predictions going forward?
Oh, yeah. Did you have any specific list that you wanted to make predictions for?
I didn't prepare anything like I should have, but I could rattle some off. I think there's
going to be... Yeah, let's start. Yeah, let's do them. I'm excited because I have some very bullish predictions.
Yeah, I think the most important prediction is that we're going to see the price increase a lot, and we're going to see an increase in a lot of podcasts. And I think the increase in podcasts is going to be the leading indicator for price. So one bullish development that is going on behind the scenes is that Sly Goomba is relaunching his podcast. I talked to him the other day about that. So that's pretty exciting.
There's some other podcasts that we may get back. Some that have seemed to die down. And John K. Vallis, he could start another Bitcoin podcast or restart his. I think Eric Kaysen is starting a Bitcoin podcast. Just, it's going to be rant after rant. It should just be the daily rant. Honestly, that's what I would call it. But we talked to Mike. They might bring back the High Hash Rate podcast. There is, you know, Peter McCormick. I don't think it's too late to count him out for making a comeback, especially as this bull market kicks off. And there could be more. I mean, Svetsky, he may bring back a Bitcoin podcast. BTC Kaz Blyko, he could start another podcast. A lot of possibilities.
Yeah, I think every Bitcoiner should start a Bitcoin podcast.
So what is your prediction for the biggest new Bitcoin podcast for 2025? Who do you think that's going to be? Or what do you think is that, you know, that's going to look like?
I think Haley Welch is going to come out of hiding, and she's going to rebrand as a freedom activist. And she's going to repent for her shitcoinery and become Bitcoin only. And she's going to launch a Bitcoin podcast. She's going to pivot the Talk to a podcast into a Bitcoin only podcast.
I think the biggest new podcast of 2025 will be Ross Ulbricht. I think he will assess the landscape and realize the opportunity that lies before him to fill that void that Peter McCormick left. Ross Ulbricht created the Silk Road, which orange-pilled Peter McCormick. And Peter McCormick, in turn, orange-pilled so many people that they helped get Ross free. And then Peter McCormick retired, and now it's time for Ross to pick up and continue to orange pill. And he's the one that started it all. He's the one who, Ross Ulbricht is the one who inspired the Bitcoin podcast movement by creating the Silk Road and orange pilling Peter McCormick. That's what I think is how it's going to play out.
Yeah. I mean, Ross definitely gave a lot of people a reason to podcast, which is saying a lot. I don't think he's going to start a podcast. I think he's going to be too busy going on other people's podcasts. I think what he's going to do is he's going to get a book deal, and then he's probably going to be interviewed in a few documentaries, and then he's going to go on a million other people's podcasts and just be so consumed by the PodConf tour that he's not going to have time. But there is a real potential that he starts his own podcast.
You think he's going to get a book deal, and I agree with that, but I think he's also going to get a lot of DMs from hot chicks in Bitcoin wanting to be his girlfriend. And I think that he's definitely going to make people jealous. There's going to be some competition there.
Yeah. I think, so if Ross is listening to this, enjoying his freedom, listen to the Beagle Weekly, which I fully expect him to at some point. I think if you're going to do a book deal, you should do it with Laura Hillebrand. Are you familiar with Laura? So she's done some really good stuff. So she's famous for writing the book Seabiscuit, but she did a really good, I'm not familiar with all of her other books that she's done, but she did a really good biography of Louis Zamperini, called Unbroken. I don't know if you've seen the movies or read that book, but that's a pretty good book. I think she's a good candidate for Ross Ulbricht. I think the challenging thing is you get out of prison, you get all this media attention, you get all these offers. What are the correct offers to take? Because if you take the wrong offer, if you work with the wrong person on your book deal, it could really set you back significantly. And Ross is going to be bombarded by stupid shitcoiners, by bad authors, by grifters and scammers.
Documentary filmmakers.
Like, I would say avoid anybody affiliated with the History Channel, first and foremost. I would say it's probably good to avoid HBO. The Peter Todd and Satoshi documentary was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of temptations there. But I'm going to stick to my prediction of the biggest podcast. So for the next prediction, this one, I think the way I'm going to frame it, not the price, but what market cap do you think we capture this year? Do we take gold? Do we take any of the Saudi Aramco? What is it going to be the biggest market cap in the world? Is Bitcoin going to be the biggest market cap in the world, or what place is it going to be on that list? Right now, let's see the top 10. Bitcoin is number 7 behind Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Nvidia, and number 1 is gold.
Well, you'd have to, my price prediction is $2 trillion a coin by the end of 2025.
So number 1 on the list.
$2 trillion USDT per coin. So it's going to blow gold out of the water. It's going to eviscerate Nvidia. The only reason why Nvidia is even going to be relevant at that point is because you need GPUs to look at price charts. Like, you're going to need a 4060 at least to be able to handle looking at the 1 minute price chart swinging in $1 million increments. You know how
my prediction is that I think you're right about $2 trillion USDT per coin, but at that point we're going to start repricing it, and I don't know if people are even going to think about it in USDT terms. It's going to happen so fast. The dollar's going to just be so wiped out that they're going to measure it in the ETH BTC chart, and I think that there's going to be 10 zeros after the decimal point before we get to a digit on the ETH BTC chart. That's where I think the price is going to end up this year.
Well, I think this is going to happen with the dollar strengthening at the same time, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Okay, so you think it's going to be $2 trillion USDT, but the dollar is going to be at an all-time, the Dixie's going to be at an all-time high.
Yeah, we're gonna cease using the Dixie because all the other currencies in that basket, like Japanese yen's gone, they're all using Tether in Japan, Swiss franc gone, they're all using Tether in Switzerland, in Monero, the British pound gone. All those things that are used to measure against the dollar are going to go to zero. There's going to be a god candle when it comes to pricing the dollar against other fiat currencies. It's all going to be because they're going to be backing the dollar with Bitcoin and meme coins. So the real question is, I think the thing that's interesting to think about is the way that the Trump administration seems to be positioning is that this site that we're looking at, I assume you're on the same one. It's companiesmarketcap.com. Is that the one you're on?
Yeah.
It's just going to be replaced by CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko.
Exactly. CoinMarketCap. So that's interesting because a lot of people thought, especially even up to a month ago, that we were getting rid of shitcoiners. So we're going to deport them all. Donald Trump's going to get rid of all of them. He's going to have a strategic Bitcoiners file. If we do that, then we won't have anybody to wrap our Bitcoin. And as we're building the future on top of Bitcoin, as everybody's BlackRock is tokenizing everything, they're going to need wrapped Bitcoin. And we're going to need the shitcoiners to wrap a Bitcoin, because that's the jobs that we're not going to want to do. And all these layer twos, they're just going to need so many people who can't afford their taxes working hard to wrap the Bitcoin so they can make money to afford taxes.
Yeah. Well, you know, since the Trump administration is getting rid of Social Security and replacing it with meme coins, the reason why wrapped Bitcoin is so important is because you need liquidity in that market, right? And so wrapped Bitcoin becomes a part of national security. Because if you cannot keep a liquid meme coin market of people to be able to trade in and out of wrapped BTC into whatever their meme coin is on Solana, then that creates some pretty serious issues for America's retirement.
Right, so in liquidity, it needs that. Nothing stops a strain, right? We need the liquidity.
Exactly.
This is why it's important, because they're going to want to pay you in wrapped Bitcoin. And like, how, you know, you can still self-custody it. So what do you do here? What if they even, they'll let you unwrap it? Can you still cash out your meme coin? Or can you truly cash out your meme coin? Or can you only cash it out for wrapped Bitcoin?
Well, the banks that are issuing the wrapped Bitcoin, because people need to understand how this works. There's not really a DeFi protocol that people are locking their Bitcoin into. What's happening is the Bitcoin is being held by a bank somewhere that issues a wrapped Bitcoin token, right? And what we're going to see is these exchanges and banks that are issuing these wrapped tokens are going to be FDIC insured in the future. And that FDIC insurance is going to be backed by Bitcoin. So it's almost like it's wrapped FDIC insurance, if that makes sense.
Interesting. What? Okay, so your prediction in 2020 of how many meme coins does the White House launch in 2025, and how much Bitcoin, wrapped Bitcoin, do they cash out for?
I don't know about the amount of wrapped Bitcoin that's going to go in the strategic stockpile, but I would estimate at least 300 million. What's the population of the U.S.? It's like 340 million citizens.
More or less. Plus the assassin market meme coiners that are here.
Yeah. So if every individual in the U.S., this is one of the things that's kind of interesting. So if you replace Social Security with meme coins on the Solana blockchain, because everybody has a meme coin, you're less incentivized to launch your own meme coin to compete with your Social Security meme coin. So it kind of kills the markets for meme coins in some way. Just interesting to think about.
So what was your final prediction for the amount of meme coins? 340 million?
Over 340 million. That's just the floor.
All right. So I think that I follow your logic exactly. So my prediction is the same, 340 million. My next question is Pledator going to be able to report all 340 million meme coins to the SEC as unlicensed securities by December 31st at 11:50 p.m. or 11:59 p.m. Will he be able to report enough per day?
I think he will. I think he'll be able to automate it a lot with some of these new tools that are coming out. I think Pierre Richard is going to be auditing the meme coins, but I don't think it's going to make a difference. You know, there's all these people that have issued pre-mined coins that are flush with lots of cash, that have a shitload of lobbying power in Washington, And they're begging for regulatory clarity, which just means they're trying to buy politicians to pass favorable regulation for them to be able to engage in their shitcoin shenanigans. And, you know, he can, like, Gary Gensler is out. Donald Trump and Melania both launched meme coins. I think that's pretty clear. And they're going to be issuing every citizen of the United States a meme coin. I think, you know, if you're a Bitcoin maximalist and you're anti-shitcoin, the only route forward for you to, like, really keep your morals and to pass your own purity test that you continue to, you know, expect others to pass is to renounce your citizenship. But the problem with renouncing your citizenship is then you come under scrutiny. You know, and Elon Musk said that there's no way that Roger Ver will be pardoned for being unable to afford his taxes because he's not a citizen. He renounced his citizenship. So why would Donald Trump pardon him? So it really puts people between a rock and a hard place, which is either you have to either change your values and embrace the shitcoinery, or you have to renounce your citizenship and try to move to a country that empowers your Bitcoin maximalist beliefs, which I don't really think there will be one in the future. I think other countries are going to do the same thing by launching meme coins for their citizens as well. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just a really tough position for people to be in. So yeah. I don't know what the editor's going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I don't think he's going to be able to report them all. I think he's going to grow either depressed and give up, or I don't know if that's very likely. I think that Donald Trump will order an executive order to rate limit Plenitor so that he can't spam the government servers with unlicensed security notification or, you know, reports. The last prediction I wondered what you had for 2025 is which Bitcoiner on Twitter will be the first to call out or accuse Ross of shitcoining.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Which Bitcoin Twitter person or influencer will be the first to call out Ross for being a shitcoiner or for shitcoining?
I think that both Dick Whitman and Plenitor already have tweets drafted. They have all these different scenarios that they've workshopped, and they're just waiting for whichever one to happen. So they already preemptively called him out. They just haven't published it yet.
Right, that Plenitor was awaiting confirmation that Ross benefited financially from his NFT drawing that his mom sold with the help of Bitcoin Magazine as soon as he can get any on-chain data evidence to confirm a Tether transfer to Ross, he will be reporting in as a shitcoiner immediately.
Yeah.
So Plenitor, I think it's either Plenitor or a post of Dick Whitman. I think I'll take Plenitor.
All right. Just to be contrarian, I'm going to choose Dick Whitman.
I think Dick Whitman is a real possibility because he's going to get the most jealous about girls thinking that Ross Ulbricht is hot. You can already tell that he thinks he's cooler than Ross, and he's going to be pretty upset if Ross gets more babe attention.
Totally. Do you think that Satoshi Action will launch a meme coin?
No, I do not think so. I think that Dennis is committed to Bitcoin only, and if he can't stay Bitcoin only, I don't know who can.
Which of the top Bitcoin maximalists do you think will fall and begin shitcoining this cycle?
I think it's going to be Saylor. I think right now we don't have any evidence. He's only started to say crypto and digital assets without saying Bitcoin only afterwards. I think it's only a matter of time. I just don't know. I don't know which coin it will be. Maybe they'll launch their own meme coin. But I think Michael Saylor is the first to go, the biggest to go.
Well, let me ask you this question. So I think a lot of people are probably struggling with this episode, with the news that we're delivering to people. I know it's a massive shift. So the majority of Americans, they have all their money in meme coins already. I would argue that equities in the stock market are meme coins. They're just company meme coins. I would argue that government bonds are just government meme coins. Is this really that bad of a... You can argue about doing it on Solana. Maybe there's a better way to roll out the infrastructure of these meme coins. But doesn't this make more sense to issue all the citizens meme coins and have them try to build value and equity in themselves and in their brand instead of buying government and corporate meme coins and having their entire savings built into the companies and growing the value of the companies that are essentially keeping them stuck in the fiat rat race? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do. I think that is the best solution. I think that the government's always going to try to pick winners and losers. It's always going to pick its favorite contractors, its favorite consultants, the people in the Discord servers, the Diddy Party Discord servers. So the best way that you can do what you're saying is to start a Bitcoin podcast. You control your equity. You control your future. And you can exchange in the value for value community based off of that that cash flow, that sats flow, and that equity. And you can make sure, you can try to do it as much on chain as possible instead of using one of these blockchains or one of these inefficient layer twos that they're going to try to put you on instead.
Yeah. It's really decentralizing retirement, which is very interesting.
Yeah, decentralizing retirement and decentralizing equity and decentralizing network effects.
I saw this statistic somewhere, and I don't remember where, but it said that 30% of retirees blow their entire Social Security checks on slot machines at casinos. And I think the only reason why that number isn't higher is because there's not enough Indian reservations around the country to allow everybody to do that. Not everybody's in a close enough proximity to a casino to blow all their retirement savings.
Online gambling, meme coin gambling, Trump meme coins, Trump, he's got Truth Social, there's a stock, the DJT stock. They're going to gamble it. They're going to gamble it online. The future of senior citizens gambling away their Social Security checks is wrapped. It's on wrapped Bitcoin.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, they're going to gamble their meme coin proceeds on Polymarket.
Yeah, that boils it down. That is why Donald Trump is building this massive, reserve of wrapped Bitcoin. And that's why Michael Saylor is building this massive reserve of MicroStrategy, which is in itself just wrapped Bitcoin. What Michael Saylor's doing and what MicroStrategy doing is they are creating liquidity for senior citizens to gamble their Social Security checks on insurance, on, bonds, on things that they like. That's going to keep that afloat. And the wrapped Bitcoin on chain on different blockchains is going to create that liquidity for younger people who don't own as many bonds, they don't own as much real estate to gamble there. They're not going to get Social Security, but they're going to get universal basic income so they can gamble their universal basic income check on meme coins?
Well, I think the question, so here's our predictions. The question I have for the listener, let us know in the booth or shoot us a message. Is this the future you want to live in? Is this what you're satisfied with? Is this what you listen to Bitcoin podcast anticipating?
Yeah. When you thought about Bitcoin winning in the future, well, Bitcoin has already won. Is this what you expected it to be?
Yeah. Right. I mean, are you satisfied with this? And if you're not, then what do you do about it? I'm interested in hearing what our listeners think. You know, if you don't agree with this feature that we're entering into, what do you do? I've got my set of solutions. I think the future will only be bright and orange if more people podcast and more people smoke cigarettes. I think those are the two keys. But I don't want to be too opinionated here. I don't want this turning into a CNN panel of lecturing our listeners. So yeah, let us know what you think.
All right, let's get. Let's go ahead.
I was just going to ask, did you have anything before we hop into the booth and take a look at this?
Yeah, I just have one more thing. And it's kind of related to the booth. So if, you know, we're coming together, the announcement will be coming out soon, but we partnered with ToddConf. You know, we already said we can't get rid of the shitcoiners and everybody else, but one thing we all can agree on is 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast will change the world. So the, you know, if you've seen the hashtag 40HPW with the headphones, we're spreading the message for the 40 hours per week brand. And if you would, you know, normally maybe come to give us a boost for a few thousand sats, a few hundred sats, whatever that's worth to you, if it would be worth it to you to put the ad 40, that hashtag 40, HPW into your Twitter handle or your Noster handle to spread awareness for that. Consider that is in lieu of a boost on Fountain, but only do it if, you know, the Bugle and listening to Bitcoin podcasts for 40 hours per week has benefited you and you truly do support it.
Oh, that reminds me, you have a new t-shirt. You have your first t-shirt that you launched.
Yes. Oh. Yes. The t-shirt is on Orange Label, and look for that link in the show notes, and it's the 40 hours per week Silk Road commemorative Marlboro cigarette inspired art. It's kind of celebrate Ross with the Silk Road and the 40 hours per week brand on there, so check that out.
It's very cool. I ordered my shirt. I'm waiting excitedly for it to show up. I just think, you know, you want to go to the Bitcoin meetup and you want people to know that you're not a loser. You're not there to talk about Cardano and tell people why they're wrong who have listened to a million more hours of Bitcoin podcasts than you have. You want them to know that you've listened to a million more Bitcoin podcasts than they have and that you're really in tune with what's going on. If you want a status symbol, it is the 40HPW shirt. You walk into the meetup, instant street cred. Heads will turn. They'll say, wow, where'd you get that shirt from? And then you'll show them, and then they won't buy it because they're not cool enough. And so you'll be the only one at the meetup over and over again that's wearing this shirt. I mean, what would you compare it to? Like, what's a good status symbol in the fiat? Like, walking in with, yeah, you know, what are some good comparisons here?
It'd be like walking in with, you know, a fish t-shirt from the tour that, you know, in 1994, there's only so many shirts, or, you know, Grateful Dead, or Widespread Panic, or Ungovernable Misfits hoodie. I guess that would be in the Bitcoin meetup, not the regular world. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be like walking in with like a Super Bowl t-shirt or like a Super Bowl commemorative hat or jersey. you know, because not a lot of people can afford to go to the Super Bowl. Those tickets are really expensive. They cost thousands of dollars. And instead of showing that you shorted Bitcoin by buying a Super Bowl ticket, you're going to show that you longed Bitcoin by listening to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of Bitcoin podcasts every week.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week, but thousands over a period of years.
Hell yeah.
It really is the mark of a proof of work. So I would highly encourage, head over to Orange Mart. The website is, Orange Label, orangelabel.co. Look for the 40 HPW t-shirt. I think, how many shirts do you think we've sold? This is the first time we're announcing the launch. I think you might have done a post on Twitter.
I don't know. I haven't checked it yet, but I think it's at least 30.
We'll have to link this shirt specifically because all I'm seeing is Comply gear. We'll have to talk to the person running this website about getting it featured on the front, because I think the 40 HPW shirt should be right there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But we'll get into the boost here. First one was from Fundamentals, Rock Paper Bitcoin. He's the man. But I'm here a couple times. You know who he is by now. 100,000 sats. So huge boost, baller boost by Fundamentals. Thank you so much. B-roll for life, never change. That's where I like to see people paying me 100,000 sats and telling me they have no complaints, do not change.
Yeah, appreciate the baller boost. That's why Ungovernable Misfits calls it. They call it baller boost when they're big boost. Thank you, Fundamentals. 6102 for 3,000 sats says, need your macro base case for the predictions. So I think we did that in the episode pretty well. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, I don't think either of us would even, we can do a prediction section without giving our macro base case, as that is the foundation. So thank you so much, 6102. The next one from Anonymous, the Bitcoin bugle is what gives life meaning, 400 sats. So, well, that's pretty cool. The Anonymous organization, the people who hacked the CIA, hacked the feds, they really like the Bitcoin bugle. I hope that's not, a negative thing. I hope the feds aren't listening.
Well, the feds are listening. I don't think there's any way to prevent that, unfortunately. But, yeah, I just lost my tab.
If I could read the last one, it's BTC on board, hashtag LNHANCE, hashtag or CTV. Boost 300 sats, 3 lightning bolt emojis, and a fire emoji. Thank you, BTC on board.
Did you want to go through the shitcoin boost or no? We've been getting some Monero boost.
Yeah, go ahead and you can read those. Read those. I said that I would not dox them, so.
Let me see real quick. I want to open up my Cake wallet and see how many USDT worth of Monero is in there. The one thing that's interesting about Monero wallet, so I'm not running a node, I'm just using the Cake wallet on my typewriter. But every time you open the wallet, it takes a little bit for it to sync, which is interesting. All right, so going through the Monero boost on xmrchat.com/bugle. Our first boost, this is last week, was from Linkin Park Rules. Says, hopefully you guys can continue to report on Monero objectively when you're knee deep in XMR chats. I have yet to be added to any XMR chats. I don't really know how much I would engage in there or really care to, because there's so much to be unpacked in the world of Bitcoin. And I honestly think Monero is going to be kind of a short-term fad. My hope is that we can make Bitcoin interesting to use again. But anyways, thanks for the boost. Lil Soprano says, Da Joe. I don't know what that means, but thank you, Lil Soprano. And then we have a user, maybe this is Pies, I don't know, a heart cigarette emoji for $11. And their boost is strong arm, prayer hands, and kissy face. All right, thank you. Anonymous tipper for just over a dollar. I mean, this is one of the cool things about Monero. I will say that I've been impressed with is that you can smell or you can send small transactions inexpensively. And I guess that's one of the benefits of having a network that there's not a lot of value on. But anonymous tipper says, gonna use this as an anonymous tip line. Check out Count BTC Pod this AM. So this is last week. Exclusive Dennis content. So I actually did check out that podcast and then got distracted about 10 minutes in. So I never saw the exclusive Dennis content. So if you, whoever anonymous tipper is, could send that to me with a timestamp, that'd be kind of interesting. Another boost from cigarette heart emoji says, this is for your smoking hot producer. Come back. We're desperate. I think I have a plan to bring Kaylee back. I've been having some preliminary conversations about her coming back. I think she was excited that we started taking Monero. So we'll see what happens. And then one more boost from cigarette heart says, great work, guys. But anyways, thank you for those Monero boosts. We have decided to shitcoin a little, or at least I kind of, this is my decision. So don't get mad at Rod. Get mad at me. If you're mad, I'm shitcoining.
I am totally willing to accept Monero. I just haven't created my wallets yet. I have to watch some tutorials, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure Seth for Privacy would be happy to get you set up. One thing that's kind of weird about these Monero wallets is you're connected to a bunch of different nodes, which
they're probably in the Pentagon.
Yeah. I think they're either likely in chain analysis's offices or the Pentagon, or chain analysis's offices in the Pentagon.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. That wraps up this week. The future is wrapped. Wrapped Bitcoin, shitcoins, Bitcoin on shitcoins. You can be upset. Like, you know, it's okay to be upset about it. But it's better to, instead of being upset about what isn't, is accept what is and try to stay humble and stack wrapped sats. Everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
On behalf of the Bugle News team, I want to thank you for listening to this production of the Bugle Weekly. The politicians are shitcoining in Washington, but does that come as a surprise? You saw this coming from a mile away because you heard about it first months ago on this podcast. We all know that Nancy Pelosi has been shitcoining with corporate meme coins for decades, amassing an incredible amount of wealth. What happens when the politicians seek to pump and dump each other in meme coin warfare? Will the next civil war involve advanced tokenomics in order to destroy each other's market cap, like Peter Thiel did to Terra Luna? Or will sanity prevail and people realize that they can just use Bitcoin as money and create circular economies that are insulated from Washington's degeneracy? The future is yours to build because you listen to 40 hours of podcasts a week. You are on the front line of the Orange Revolution, the very first color revolution that wasn't started by the CIA. Seize your opportunity to show your fellow meetup attendees and organizers your commitment to the cause by purchasing one of Rod's groundbreaking commemorate intellectual Silk Road 40 hours of podcasts a week t-shirt. You can find the shirt on orangelabel.co. The link to the shirt will be in the show notes. We are relying on you to listen to 40 hours of podcasts a week in order to stop the world from being consumed by shitcoins. Thank you for once again visiting the Bugleverse, and we will catch you next week on another episode of the Bugle Weekly.
She heard a man humming a song she thought she knew. When she asked him what it was, she didn't know what was true.
Richard Haley had fallen off the map. How did this man know this song? But there was no time, she couldn't turn back. Missing workers, trains running behind. The results of the world ran by the blind leading the blind. Said she couldn't do it. They all said she would fail. But the day the comet touched those tracks, her determination prevailed. Beating them once was never quite enough. The day Wyatt oil burst to flames, things were getting pretty rough. Individuals who are too determined to lose. When the world is falling apart, we don't need more lobbyists perpetuating abuse. Danny Tagger, woman to behold. On her wrist she wore a bracelet made of reared-on steel.
Just like Dagny, maybe together we'll be able to prevent tragedy.